Culture Radio. You are now tuned in to Florida Culture Radio. You are now tuned in to Florida Culture Radio. You are now tuned in to Florida Culture Radio. You are now tuned in to Florida Culture Radio. You are now tuned in to Florida Culture Radio.
Yo! What's going on, y'all? This is the host, Mr. Ace Wallace, a.k.a. The Corporate Thug. And you are now tuned in for the culture. So today we're talking to the ladies. I got a special guest for you all. Miss Mardi G is what I like to call her. She's an artist amongst many other things, but I know her for being a dope friend. She's in my bike club. And she's in group one, so she's quick. You know what I'm saying? I know her from being inspirational, honestly. And I remember when I first met her in my club, she wasn't riding the fastest, but I always told her, man, just keep pedaling, you know? And I never knew that she was the dope artisan that she was. And I had the joy of going to an event that she hosted in Hyde Park here in Chicago. And the art was superb, to say the least. So I made a conscious decision to make sure that I tuned her in because we got her on the show, because I feel like the ladies need to have some representation. And what better representation to have than a dope female entrepreneur and painter? So we're going to call Mardi G up and see if we can get on the line. But this is for the culture. We'll be right back.
My name is Ace Wallace, and the views and opinions expressed here represent my own and not those of the people, institutions, or organizations, including For the Culture podcast, that I may or may not be related with unless stated explicitly. Please understand that I am human. My thoughts and my opinions may change as I come to learn more and develop understanding about the things and issues that I am talking about.
And we back. So let's get Mardi on the line. Mardi G.
Hello.
Yo, Mardi, what's good? Did I catch you at a good time?
Yeah, it's a good time. Let me go out of this door real quick.
Well, just to let you know, you're live on For the Culture Radio and with your host, Mr. Ace Wallace,
For the Culture,
a.k.a. The Corporate Thug. So I gave a little brief introduction of you before you jumped on, because I just wanted to give a little precursor to, you know, how I know you and things of that nature. But just to let the people know, I think you're a dope individual before you get started. And this show was developed just basically to inspire, develop, and, you know, aid and assist people in all different realms, you know. You there?
Yeah, I love it.
So, yeah. So the topic that we've been talking about all week long has been entrepreneurship. So I really wanted to kind of get you to give a brief introduction of yourself. And then I've got like two questions that I'd like to roll with. And you'll give me your feedback, and then we'll let our listeners out there kind of give their feedback on the conversation via email or something like that.
Okay, I'm with it. Put me on the spot. I'm ready.
All right. So, Mardi, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do? Who are you for the people that don't know?
I am a being. I'm a creative being, an artist. I paint oil paintings and acrylic on wood. I also do graphic design. And I am an educator. So I also teach art to the children, to high school age kids.
Okay.
But it's funny, you know, you ask, who are you, what do you do, or the intro to yourself. I've just been thinking about lately.
Thinking about what lately?
And this morning I did this mirror meditation.
Okay.
Where, like, yeah, you just look in the mirror at yourself. I think that's the first time I've done that. Like, you know, we always look in the mirror. We always like, oh, yeah, I'm cute or whatever. You look at your outfit. But this was like a guided meditation through Clubhouse. And I just got into Clubhouse. I enjoy listening to all these people speak about their experiences. And the guy, Uncut Art, he's an artist as well.
Okay.
Was guiding us in this mirror meditation. So you look in the mirror and you just really look in your eyes. And you ask yourself, who am I? Right? Mm. What do I want? What am I doing? So it was a very beautiful kind of moment for myself. Just not trying to, I don't know, trying to be connected. That whole vibe, that's what I'm on right now. And the way I express that is through my art, but now I have to embody it as well. And so I started off the morning like that, and it was a really good start to the morning.
Hmm. Mirror meditation.
Yeah, and like, you know, you start, usually meditation, you have your eyes closed, and you're just kind of trying to quiet your mind.
Mm-hmm.
This was more eyes open, looking at yourself for who you are, and appreciating the breath that we can take, appreciating my arms, right? And not even in a sexual way, but like touching yourself and saying, wow, you know, I have such a strong body. That's how I felt, looking at myself, feeling that I was strong, and that I am not only my body, you know, that I am my soul. So it was a very powerful kind of moment.
Mm. No, that sounds very interesting. I mean, I'm definitely going to take a play out of that book. I've been trying to do a bit more meditation in my mornings, because I feel like I read something that said that like a good guide to your day is basically to start or say with billionaires. A lot of billionaires doing that. We're saying a good spiritual guide for your day is to start as early as you can. But no TV, no media, no social media, no electronics, anything like that. You know, first start with meditation and talking to yourself. And that kind of can prepare you and propel you through the rest of your day. So,
yeah,
I like the mirror meditation, though. I'm going to do some more research on that. So maybe we can pass along some information on the follow up. But I consider you, do you consider yourself an entrepreneur?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think is something that you do on a daily that makes you successful in entrepreneurship?
There's a lot of things.
One of the most important things that you feel like you do.
I guess in the morning, like, I run through what I need to do for the day. I'm someone that makes lists. Like, I write it down. I have all these notebooks, like these Hemingway notebooks, the Moleskine journals. And I write down a lot of what I want to do, what I've accomplished, you know, my next goals. And sometimes I do the list, like, you know, I got to do this. These aren't things that I have to get done before email or before, like, electronic stuff. Like you were just saying, I tend to write it down. So it's like a muscle memory thing. I think that helps me. I'd never forget. If I've written it down once or twice, then I'm like, I have that list in my head now, what I need to do for my business for the day or the week or the month or the year.
Hmm. I think you just hit on a really key point. Write it down. And you said it with such emphasis, but I want people to take away the benevolence in that, in what you just said. Writing it down. I watched this movie a long time ago that really changed my life, and it's based on a book called The Secret. Have you ever read it?
I have, and I've seen the movie.
And you remember how, so you remember when they were talking about the power of writing things down because of, and you kind of said it, but it's like the muscle memory of, it's a muscle memory for us, but for the universe, it's like, in my opinion, it's like drawing that, a never ending, like a line, drawing a message in the sand that can never get washed away.
Yeah.
You know?
And I learned it from that movie. My sister, my brother, and I watched it over 15 years ago, at least 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I remember vividly where I was, and I remember that said blue ink, that it's something about blue ink and writing it physically with your hand. It's just like you said, you're writing the message out. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's more of a manifestation to the universe. And I think a lot of the times people, I was talking to someone and they said to me, and no disrespect to this person, I have a lot of value for this person I just met, and I hope to, you know, procure maybe a bigger relationship with them professionally. But the person said to me, you know, I'm kind of sick of this universal talk that I keep hearing about. It's, you know, a lot of the young people I hear talking about universe and it's just God and da da da. I said, well, no disrespect, but I think that you don't understand maybe their intention and what they're saying. And I want to kind of draw to that point right here. When you write things down, I think it's just like when you speak and they say like your words have power. And the way that I interpret that is the power is from the energy that you use. Like every time you speak, you create a vibrational tone that goes out into the universe. And that's scientifically fact, right? So when you write things down, I feel it's like you're transferring that energy to a piece of paper, but you're also like doing a spiritual manifestation to say to the universe and the powers that be, hey, this is my profound statement to you claiming my destiny.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think that's very powerful. And planning.
I agree.
I think planning was another one that I took from you. You know, I think the lists and journaling, I think that that all goes according to plan. And I think sometimes, especially women that I've known in my life, they've been pretty good. The awesome women that I've known have always been pretty good planners. And I think that that kind of is a characteristic that I see a lot in women business owners that I think is undervalued a lot of the time.
No, I agree. I love a plan. I would have to, like, you know, make myself, force myself to be spontaneous because I do like to have a little plan of what's going on. No, I don't like surprises. Like if somebody, you know, if my future husband's going to propose to me, don't surprise. Don't be like a bunch of people. It's just like, surprise! Or surprise birthday. I don't like.
You don't like those.
I don't really. I mean, I get with it. You know, I go with the flow. It's like Bruce Lee say, be like water. So I can get into that groove. But I do like the plan. Now, here's the problem. I know I don't want to talk about too many of the problems, but I am getting better. Not procrastinating anymore. So I can have all these plans, but daily, like every day, in order to hit those targets, like we said, the meditation in the morning, or like I'll stretch and just start getting the juices flowing so I don't procrastinate or put it off to the next day. I tend to work in like ebb and flow. So like today I'm doing 4 things. Yesterday I did nothing. But that's how I like to work. I give myself a day of rest and then I'll get a lot of stuff done today. I'm not necessarily consistently doing the same thing every day. It changes for me.
Yeah, I can understand that completely.
Yeah.
I'm like that some weeks, you know, it'll be that.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it'll be like that for a week for me. Sometimes it'll be like that for a day for me. Sometimes I feel like it's like that for an hour where I'm like, okay, I just need to stop and give myself this time and relax and not put so much pressure. But then that next 3 or 4, I might, you know, do 6 hours worth of work. But you said something else interesting, and I'm going to call it anti-procrastination techniques. Because
my productivity techniques.
Yeah, your productivity techniques. What are some of the things that you do? Because you said earlier on you struggled with procrastination. What are some of the things that you do to combat procrastination right now? Are there, you know, I heard you say about the meditation, but what are some of those things?
Well, doing something, maybe I'll do something for me first. And you mentioned about waking up early. I read this book called The 5 a.m. Club, and it said the exact same thing. Those who wake up early, the most successful people wake up super early, but not to check emails. They wake up early to do something for themselves. And for me, when I wake up early and go to paint a little bit, even if I don't feel like it, I wake up early and I like make a juice or do something that I enjoy doing. just to have that quiet time, I find that the rest of the day is more productive. And I, this is something with that mirror meditation. What I'm not going to do anymore is that negative self-talk, or, you know, that voice in your head that's always hardest on yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I didn't do that yesterday. Like, you know,
yeah.
And I'm changing that around, where telling myself all the great things that I'm going to do, you know, appreciating what I have done, and that positive self-talk. And I don't know if that even answered your question, but,
No, you did. I mean, that was, yeah. I took away, I mean, a couple things from that. You know, it's waking up early. What I took most away from was waking up early and dedicating some time for self,
mm-hmm.
and providing that positive self-talk in order to kind of jumpstart yourself. You know, I think it's important that we realize as entrepreneurs that this life isn't easy. You know, it's one of those where it's like you're choosing to jump on this roller coaster. Nobody is, you know what I mean? There could be a prize at the end, but there's no guarantee. And by you choosing to get on this roller coaster, you have to know that, you know, you have to make the seatbelts, you have to make the harnesses, the safety nets, you know, so it's not always just a walk in the park. So I feel like we have to be inspired some kind of way, and it has to be. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to my uncle about this, and he says, he's like, I feel like I'm a little crazy sometimes. He's like, I know my wife looks at me and she thinks I'm a little crazy sometimes. Like, man, you're going to keep doing this. You're going to keep trying this. You're going to keep trying this. And he's like, yeah. So he's like, I feel like it takes a special type of person who wants to get into the monotony of entrepreneurship. But at the same time, if you can afford the attention and the time into your craft, you can develop something that is totally unique to you, very profitable, and can potentially build your legacy.
That is well said. And you catch me at a time that just a mindset shift that I've had this week, last two weeks, from overwhelmed. I have all these orders. You know, my father just passed away. He's also an artist, so I have to archive his work. And then I have siblings who are asking me for things. I have two younger siblings now who I feel like, oh God, now I have four kids, right? Because they're my younger kids, and now they look to me for guidance. And I switched it to just be so grateful what I have. And I'm looking into systems that can help me stay more organized. So even though I am I'm one artist, I'm one person who, when someone buys the painting, it's the commission, or like hand embellished print, I have to put my hands on it. So now I'm starting to get into more corporate kind of partnerships with companies that I believe in, so that I don't have to spread myself so thin where my business can be going even when I'm sleeping. That's where I'm transitioning now, so that I don't feel so overwhelmed trying to do everything myself. Like, I definitely need an assistant. I need project management software that I'm looking into. And so I think that's going to help me where I'm not procrastinating, because I'll see the goals and be able to achieve them easily. Not easily, but just make a little progress.
Yeah.
Keep going forward. Yeah.
I think you made another good point in talking about the technology that you're about to start using, because technology really has, I think, shortened the learning curve for a lot of people. And it's one of those things that can help streamline your business, so that you can, as you said, make money while you sleep. I think that's the ultimate goal most of the time of entrepreneurs, is to create a workflow that provides profit to you while you're sleeping. And, you know, I think that's like I said, that's the common goal. So people need to make sure, and I want to put emphasis on this. It doesn't matter what age you're at. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. Integrate technology into your business model, into your learning, into your accounting, into anything that you're doing with your business. You need to integrate some form of technology, because a lot of the times it makes things easier. Like the project management softwares, and I don't want to give anybody any
endorsements.
Yeah, there you go. I don't want to give anybody endorsements without any proper compensation for the culture. But we know of a lot of softwares out there, you know, that kind of aid and assist the business owners. And I think it's important for entrepreneurs to know that they can just Google. Like, you don't have to know which software to use, but just know that there is software available to help you become more organized, to help you structure your days so that you can be more successful. So moving right along, you said something that was interesting. Your father was an artist.
He was.
In Chicago or?
Yeah, Eugene Edow Wade. He was one of the artists, original artists that started the mural movement in Chicago.
The mural movement?
And this is like Mexico, Chicago, but he was one of the first Chicago artists, right, to start doing black murals in around the city, and this is the 60s. And he left just a really beautiful legacy. He really was my best friend. So I learned a lot from him. Yeah, and I got my talent from him. And now I want to make sure, I know I already made him proud in his lifetime, but continuing on where the demand for his work was has gone up, and I am the gatekeeper. And so I'm going to do that part right as well. So I have my own career plus his. We're both Wade. So it's aligned. It's all aligned along the same path that I'm going.
Wow, that's beautiful. That is beautiful. I would hope that my daughter would say that I was her best friend. You know what I mean? I think that's every dad's dream. I don't have a daughter yet, but I'm just saying, when I do, I hope that's the man. I would love to hear that. But that's super dope. Like, the mural movement in the 60s. I really got to research that.
That's interesting too, because this morning in the mirror meditation, and I'm looking in my eyes and I saw my father. Mm. And I'm just like, you know, I started to tear up a little, but it was like a happy, like, okay, I can do this. Like,
yeah,
I was just feeling the energy, feeling like the spirit of it.
I would love to see some of his work, because I just looking at your work and then knowing that you're inspired by him, that probably would just be like a euphoric experience, you know?
Yeah, and you know, we had a show together 2 years ago.
Wow.
I've given him a show at my gallery. I used to own a gallery in Oak Park, and now 2 years ago at the Southside Community Arts Center, and it was called Wade in the Water. Mm. And a couple of the pieces, I took his art and collaged it onto mine. So he's a digital artist, right? Digital painter, and he would paint on his computer and then print out the canvas, stretch it, you know, frame it, whatever. So he put his hands on it, but the work was digital. And so he would print some out for me. He would make my prints for me as well. But he told me, do whatever you want with my paintings. Cut them up, paint over it, whatever. And I ended up, one of my favorite paintings, I collaged one of his pieces that's my favorite onto mine. And then when he saw it, he asked me, could he buy it from me? And I'm like, Dad, you just print one. Like, you don't have to buy my artwork. But it was such an honor, right, to have this master artist father. He's an educator as well, to say he wanted to buy one of my paintings. And that one now is at the Clio Benefit Center. But yeah, so I'm going to do more of that, where I take his work and bring it into mine. You can see his stuff on eugenewade.wordpress.com. And then mine is at wadecreate.com. And I'll probably be merging. So I'll bring where you can get to his through wadecreate.com as well.
Wadecreate.com. Wadecreate. W-A-D-E. C-R-E-A-T-E. .com.
Yeah.
Cool.
So next month, I'll be going back down to Louisiana. That's where he lives. And there's hundreds of rolled canvases in his studio. There's paintings that, you know, that he collected over the years. There's probably 1,000 files on his computer that more work of his. And so I'll be archiving that. Yeah. And putting that up online, and just, like I said, honoring his legacy. And then, you know,
that's an amazing story.
Yeah.
Like, that's like,
man.
Dang. That's hard.
Yeah. He was very big on educating. So while he was alive, I was his manager. He would tell people, ask Martha, I don't care about the money. Like, you know, shit, what she says it is, then that's what it is. But he just wanted to educate people, mainly on, like, the African origins of Christianity, of everything. And just kind of, like, where we came from. Similar to what I do, right, where you're, painting history, but also painting us in such a beautiful light and showing brown and black people, like, hey, you're amazing. And right. I do the same message, but in a different way.
No, I can see that in your work. Like, there's a even the one with the girl that you with the vines wrapped around her.
The latest one.
Yeah, like, I don't know. It was just something like majestic in that girl. Like, you know what I mean? It was just like the she didn't look, because I think when I look at a lot of, not even art, but I'll say just when we look at imagery of us, whether it be in art, on television, things of that nature. But most painted imagery that I see of us, like, frames us in one way. And I feel like we come in so many shades, colors, and shapes, sizes. And it's like we are the indigenous black race is just so beautiful. And I think that when I looked at your picture, and I'm being completely honest with you here, when I looked at that picture, it was like the tone that you painted her in, the complexion, everything about her was just like, I don't know. It just encompassed all of us. I feel like all of us as a black people, like all of the shades, all of the colors, all of the, and it was just like that great mix, you know?
Thank you. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. But I applaud you for carrying on your father's legacy as you have, because I think that it's important, especially for our young women, to understand how powerful they are. Because a lot of the times you hear about legacy building, and it's not a sexist thing, but you know what I mean. It's like the father passed it down to his son, and it's very interesting that you got your artistic ability from your dad, and who was your best friend, and he kind of inspired you to create a whole new model in terms of education. Because when you look at the world of the 1960s and where he grew up in, what you were just telling me about, you know, in the during the mural movement, I can just imagine the passion you had to have to take the risks of doing painting murals and, you know, educating people on that subject.
Oh,
matter.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Because at one point he said, I forget, I don't know if they were like on 60 something in Langley, and there's like police going by, FBI going by. He's painting Malcolm X, like, you know, fist. The Black Panthers are out there. It was just a very politically charged, you know, also creative space. So he dealt with a lot back then.
Yeah. And I was trying to kind of get my words together, because I'm thinking about it as I'm speaking. Like, I would look like he would be the dopest interview probably in the world, because think about I'm sure he's probably got the hipster understanding. You know what I'm saying? He's probably got the gangster of the civil rights movement and Black Panther Party. He's probably got the philanthropic, you know, thought processes of the Panthers and the WIC program. You know, it's like all of these things you think about, and then being an artist, being an artist, you know, you're a free thinker typically.
Yeah,
you're unbound.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean?
You're right.
So
also like the vulnerability of an artist. So artists, when we create, and people. You give people a window into your soul. Like you do, you have to open up and be able to, you know, be vulnerable. And I think he also did that well. And he loved to talk about himself. So like he's got YouTube videos and over the years where he's just recording himself speaking and doing different speaking engagements. So I definitely suggest you watch some of those as well.
So we definitely got to follow.
You have a lot of knowledge.
It looks like we got to get a whole segment on Pops.
Yeah, right.
We may follow up with a segment on Pops. I'm not gonna hold you for too much longer. I just had one more quick question for you. You talked about being an educator, and I think that it's very important to have empowered Black women in education. But what do you think is one of the most profound things that you are able to bring to the table in terms of educating?
Okay. Well, I've become really good at managing my own emotions. Something that I worked on a lot the last 5 years or so. I'm a very sensitive person, you know, in the past, maybe called dramatic. So now, at least being able to say, feel how I'm feeling and manage that. When you go into a room with 25 to 30 young people all looking to you to educate them, I have to first be able to handle myself. So I work in a high needs school where there's a lot of emotions going, and I teach alongside art. I also teach a disciplined life, which is like the social emotional learning. So I just feel like I'm so well suited for that, where I am talking to them about how they feel, where do they see themselves in the world? How can they make the world a better place? But also I'm so empathetic. I'm able to, just show the kids that I really care about them. Then they open up to me. And it's just a beautiful thing. I love teaching because it takes me out of my own problems. And I'm just really focused on them, bringing out the best in them. Because I believe, you know, if you treat a kid like a criminal, they're going to act like a criminal. So I don't ever treat my students as like, you're a bad kid or you're the good kid. Mm-hmm. I just really try to get to know each one. And I find that those kids that maybe others would call bad or high flyers, as we say at the school, are like the best artists, right? And they're just, maybe someone was having a bad day or they didn't eat that day. So what I bring to the table is that empathy, and it's really that care for helping them to become their best self. Not the school said you have to be good at math and get a 1050 on the SAT, but like, what do you want for your life? You know, I bring in manifesting and being creative and them finding their own path for them.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting that you said some of the people that people deem as, you know, bad children are some of the best artists.
That's been my experience. I've been teaching for almost 4 years, and they start to get confident. It starts to be like, you know, something that they can do well, and it's a beautiful thing to see. So I relate very well to the students that other teachers might have problems with.
Hmm. I think that that's a common, not to take away from anything that for you, but I think that that is a common attribute that especially women bring to business. Mm, and I think that it's a very undervalued skill. And I don't want to put any race, color, or creed on it, because I don't like when people do that. I like it to just be even keel, because you got to think about this. Sometimes women just can deliver a message, you know, sometimes a little easier. Sometimes they are a little more empathetic, not to say that we can't be, but I just think that it's important for us to highlight that fact. And as a man in business, I always like to make sure that I show appreciation for all of the people that are working on with any project that I'm involved in. But I often want to make sure that if there's 8 people on this project, then we have, you know, kind of even keeled situations, because I like the opinions of women and I like the opinions of men. And I think that we should always be working together, because we have just like innate abilities that just exist in us individually that don't exist in us, you know, mutually, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree. We could complement each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes I get a little bogged down by the gender role.
Yeah.
Like, I've been thinking about that a lot, thinking about how, are you masculine or feminine or non-binary? It's like all these things, you know, they're very, very fluid in that. But I do find that women can be very empathetic, and that complements the work environment. That's kind of male dominated, very masculine, you know, go, 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 go.
Right. So being a woman in business, and I mean, you have a few things going on. I like your opinion, because it's like from that place of, you do consistently have a profession as an educator, but your business is in art, and that's something that you're passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I've been talking about lately in conversations to different entrepreneurs, is just saying, you know, you can, it's nothing wrong with having this consistent thing that's going over here. And so that you have the ability to put into whatever your passion is. And then eventually your passion kind of takes over, you know, as it grows, yeah, and it gets to a place where you have to put it first.
Yeah.
And that's the beautiful thing when you, so I'm trying to detour certain people from thinking that, hey, you can't, I don't have to have a job. I mean, it's like, it's nothing wrong with having a job, you know, it's
right. No, it's not.
You can go to work still.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and yeah. And you can, certain jobs allow for more freedom than others, right? I'm off this summer, so this is when art ramps up. You know, every day we end at 3 or some days, 1 PM. So I found a career that allows this, a lot still aligned with my purpose in life and what I want to do in the world. So I feel blessed to have that versus, I used to work in corporate. I went to business school. I worked at Arthur Anderson. Then I worked at Huron Consulting Group. I was like financial and litigation consulting, numbers everywhere, working with lawyers and accountants and lawsuits. And it was just like, whoa, this is a lot. It was just very stressful. I was not able to be as creative when I worked there. I did not have hardly any time, even for my son at the time, who was 4. So I've curated my life to become where it is now, where I have more freedom and creativity in my life.
Well, that's beautiful. And
yeah.
I mean, I think we got to appreciate the time that we've put in to get to these places. I talked about that before. You kind of afford the luxuries that you have now because of the work that you put in. And sometimes you forget about it. Or as entrepreneurs, we kind of discount the work.
Yeah.
And the experience.
Yeah, you're helping
you,
me remember it.
That you've been
through.
Yeah,
you're helping me remember it right now.
Yeah.
I had forgot. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. So
yeah,
we'll leave with this. If there's,
wait, before you, can I say something before you?
You can say whatever you like to say.
Okay. Well, I just want to thank you for being who you are, because I think I told you this before on our bike routes, but you really have inspired me just by being who you are, right? And we don't necessarily talk every day, but just seeing how active you are and how helpful, you're very protective of the bike group as a whole. Like, you look out for us. You noticed that I was, you know, working on my body in a non-creepy way, you know, when you commented on it, but that I appreciate those kind of things where, like, you lift other people up, and just your example, like, just being around you is nice. So I appreciate you, and I thank you.
Well, God, oh, Lord have mercy. You know, I'm sensitive. I'm not sensitive, but I'm sensitive. God damn it.
I didn't know.
No, I'm not, but I'm not. I mean, I am, but I'm not. I don't know how to explain that. You know, I'll shoot you with a tear in my eye. But hold on 1 second, Marty. My name is Ace Wallace, and the views and opinions expressed here represent my own and not those of the people, institutions, or organizations, including For the Culture podcast, that I may or may not be related with unless stated explicitly. Yeah, so just wanted to make sure we got that in. I'm back, Marty. But
okay.
No, that is love for real, for real. Like, I really do appreciate the flowers, because first of all, it just they smell good. They make me feel good, you know, and I'm one of those people that I just go a lot of the times. I don't.
Yeah.
And I think that it's, you know, I was recently involved in this car accident, and it's forced me to sit down. And even this show is the baby that has been born, because I've been on bed rest for 2 weeks. So I'm like really kind of stopping and smelling the roses and looking at what's around and trying to appreciate, you know, the talents that God and the universe has given me and the people that have been placed around. Like, you don't even know how big the, like, that bike club, our kinship there is, yeah, so important to me, because, well, yeah, I'm very blessed and I can have what I want. I can do and go where I want and have done it, whatever. Sometimes you just want, like, that camaraderie. You know what I mean? Sometimes,
yeah,
you just want to have your crew, your team. And I've always been involved in sports. So I've always been like the captain of the team, or, you know, just play multiple positions. And I love team, you know. And yeah. I feel like when I get around the club, it's like, yeah, we got beautiful people. You know, we got talented people. We got people with money, people that may not have so much. We have, you know, it's all different walks of life. But at the core, we all just want to ride our bike.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's so beautiful. Yeah. Yeah.
And so
it changed my life. Yeah.
I really do. I just want to tell you, I appreciate you and your sister too, because her spirit is so, it's like she got that chipper ass spirit, and you just so,
oh my gosh,
you know, she JoJo is like, just like I could just see her leading a damn I don't know, just a whole classroom full of little kids, or, you know, some old people, you know, who, like, she's just the nicest person you ever want to meet, I feel like, you know. Mm-hmm. And then you have that, like, I didn't know much about your dad, but now that you've kind of delved into him, I don't know him, but the universe has given me a special talent in feeling people and feeling things. I don't know how or why I do, but I just do. But I can feel your dad in your spirit when I talk, like when I look at you now, like when I can, now I've pinpointed it, like that's what it was. You know what I'm saying? Cause yeah. You got like a swag, like, so you got like a y'all don't know, man, but Marty G, I call her Marty G cause, you know, G for the gangster. You know what I'm saying? So I gotta be honest with you. Like, I seen that in you, and you know, gang recognized gang, but we're going to keep it all professional on here. They'll get to know me in real life if they need to, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. This is the PG show.
Okay. This is the PG. Look, hold on. Get the out of here with that. They don't know we really be on bull. But yeah, anyway. But anyway, I want you to leave us with something, because one of my episodes is coming up, is going to be featuring my niece, and she's developing her business. She's 11 years old and she's like my daughter. And she checks me every day and she's like, "Uncle, why are you moving around? You're supposed to be laying down, not supposed to be doing radio shows or whatever." But I'm going to be featuring her on the radio show soon. So I want you to leave me with a message for all of the young ladies out there that are inspired by you and are looking to build their business and just be successful in their own right. What is a piece of advice that you can give them or leave them with today?
I guess two things. One is to believe in themselves, to constantly be working on themselves. And that's like the mind, body, spirit, and your talent. And then the second thing, which I believe has helped me so much, being a woman, and I don't know if you think it's a man's world or not, but, you know, we still have barriers as women. I think having a mentor, having several mentors, has really been beneficial to me. I've had female and male mentors that have taught me so many things and helped me get to where I am. Even just helping to mold my mind so that I think a certain way has been beneficial. And you can pick out your own mentors. You can say, you know, "I love what you're doing. Like, can you show me this?" And just kind of.
Yeah. Hey, that's key. I was that kid.
Yeah.
Hey, show me how to do that. Who was, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's so important. Like, I can't even say I'm self-taught artist anymore because so many other artists have poured into me and really blessed me and showed me different things. From my dad to like this artist I just met today, who's talking about them. He taught me the mirror meditation. Looking for mentors everywhere, being open and always believing in yourself, pouring into yourself.
I think those are two amazing points, especially the mentorship. I think mentorship is one of the most important, overlooked, I mean, God, it is key. And I'll tell you how key it is. Do you know that Harvard, and I don't know if they still do this practice, but as of a few years ago, if you were a Harvard graduate, your responsibility was to mentor or be a buddy to an incoming freshman for 2 years. And that was a process that they did, like, just consistently. So just imagine you graduate, 4,000 seniors graduate, and now they're going into business for themselves or going into business with this major firm or whatever they're doing. And keep in mind, this is Harvard graduates, so you know they're getting amazing placements. Their responsibility now is then to go and mentor someone for 2 years that is in the same position they were just in 4 years ago. How powerful is that? You know,
that's so powerful.
So I think that that point you made, Marty, was just, I knew you was going to give me two dope ones. You know what I mean? And then just believing in self, that's key, especially not even just as a woman, but as a person. So my fellas out there, listen to her. That point was universal for everybody. But Marty, listen, I appreciate you being a guest on my show today. And it may not be the last time, you know, maybe we do something together.
No, this has been good. It's been my pleasure. And I'm just so proud of you for you take your bed rest. Only you would take your bed rest and create a whole radio show. You know, you cannot be stopped. I'm just in awe.
I can't be stopped.
You cannot be stopped.
I'm going to hit you and show you my setup in a minute. You're going to be like, damn, G, for real? I'm talking about G, for real. But anyway, for real.
When you called, I thought, I was like, oh, Ace is calling me. I wonder if he need anything. Like, I was already, like, bringing some food or whatever. Like, you know, it's that sometimes giving, you know, makes you feel good, too, if you're giving something to somebody. So if I can give you some words and
hey, listen,
we created something. We created a show today. That was unexpected, kind of cool thing.
And that's what I love about this. It's the power of technology. You can just jump on and, you know, get it done. It's, you know, within reason if you know what you're doing. But that's what I wanted to do. You know, I wanted to make sure that. Hold on 1 second. For real? Are they for real calling?
Like, who could be calling me now?
Yeah, somebody calling into the For the Culture live show. I think that's Fonzarello, but we'll hit him back. That's okay. But yeah, Marty G, let me let the phone start ringing. We're going to keep all this in the show, too, because I wanted to know for real. Like, yeah, it's out of the bed.
So you're like in the bed. You got the whole setup around you. Do you have anybody like holding a mic to your face, or are you just doing it by yourself?
Oh, no. I got the whole, I'll hit you in a minute once we wrap this up.
Okay.
And I'll show you all this. I'm going to show you how all this go, because you think it's a game. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't think it's a game.
I'm gonna show you. Hold on.
Although I want you to have fun. Oh, we'll do the radio show after dark, the uncut.
Oh yeah, we gonna do. Oh, Marty, see you going it. See now you getting my ideas going. I'm just gonna keep it 1,000. You get my ideas going. But yeah, this has been For the Culture Radio with your host, Mr. Ace Wallace, aka the Corporate Thug, and we out this. Y'all have a great day. Make it a great day. Go kiss your mama. I love y'all. You are now tuned in to For the Culture Radio.